Good morning. I'm Bill Zortman, and welcome to our It's Your Business show, 38, 34 in our original It's Your Business series. Now, the governor will be joining us promptly at 9:32 this morning. She's in Sioux Falls. Appointments at the 9:30 work. She's got another one at 10, but we'll be talking with her. And one of the topics we'll visit with her about is trucking. Christine Erickson joins us this morning to start the show. Christine, good morning to you.
Good morning.
You know, there's so much out there involving the trucks and the drivers, the supplies. And we talked with you and Rick in Washington, D.C. Promised to get back to you. We're a week late, but forgive us, okay?
That's okay. We needed a little extra time to make sure what we were launching was done appropriately, and we could be ready to go and make sure that we're serving not only our members, but also those individuals interested in getting a CDL. So we are rocking and ready to go.
Now, you also have another young lady that's joining us. Do you want to introduce her?
Yeah, Carrie is the director of communications with K&J. I think she might be on the line right now. If not,
I'm right here.
Good.
Hi, Carrie. No chance with two dear ladies talking this morning.
Talking trucking.
Yes. So where are we going, Christine? You're the truck driver this morning.
Well, thank you for that, and I'll have Carrie chime in here too. So, really, when the federal government many, many years ago came in and made some changes in order to get your CDL, they made a whole bunch of changes, and you know, it's Big Brother coming in telling us that they know best again. And so as that was delayed, it finally went into effect this last February. And so South Dakota Trucking partnered together with one of our fantastic members and thought, how can we be part of the solution? And so together we are launching SouthDakotaCDL.com. And what that does is allows our members to send in interested individuals to get their theory training. So the first step of getting your CDL, as well as anyone really, we can take interested individuals from New York, California, Montana. It doesn't matter. They can join our online training situation. And what makes us different is that we then want to connect you to a job here in South Dakota. We want to connect you to someone that's going to provide that range and road, that behind-the-wheel training, so you're off and running and you have a job and you're not just, what do I do next? So we wanted to be a one-stop shop with a solution for being able to keep product moving throughout the nation.
Now, as I understand it, South Dakota Trucking represents 416 trucking and trucking industry businesses. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Wow. Is that up from years past, or have we lost some?
Well, there's been a lot of merging and some changes in the trucking industry. And so, you know, that membership is down a little bit. But we are hoping that when we continue to provide the value and show others what we can offer, that they will come back and they will be a part of, you know, this amazing association that we feel we represent well.
Carrie, good to have you with us this morning. And as I understand, the information you guys have shared with us is that what you're trying to do is make it as easy as possible for people to get that CDL, but at the same time be trained and safe on the roads.
That's correct. One of the things that we were really passionate about was making sure that we educated people well and that we did it in a way that was going to be convenient for them as well. So I think that the biggest piece that we've really worked hard on to create in SouthDakotaCDL.com is just the fact that it is an online course, and so people can take it from the comfort of their own home. If they're still working in another industry, they can still continue to learn about getting into the trucking industry in their spare time. And then when they're ready, there are options that they can connect with on SouthDakotaCDL.com that will give them training then to get safely on the road and to get a job here in South Dakota. So we're really excited.
Now, Christine, I couldn't help but think about you all come, you here, and we'll take care of you. Once we get them here, do you think we can keep them here? Much like some of the programs we've seen that T. Denny has done and Dana Dykhouse have done, as far as once we get them here, we want them to stay 3 years, 15 years, whatever they can do.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think truly, you know, Carrie has an incredible story of someone that moved here from far, far away. They heard how fantastic South Dakota is. And Charlie actually was our first student in going through the theory component and was then trained and is now often driving down the road. And it truly was him uprooting his family, coming to South Dakota, and, you know, wanting to fulfill that American dream and being a CDL holder and a truck driver. We need those jobs filled. COVID taught us how critical the trucking industry is when you go to the store and your shelves are empty or you can't get product or things are on back order. It showed us how critical our trucking industry is. And so we want to be a part of that solution. And, you know, hearing stories like Charlie of being our first student through, and here he is off and running down the road with his CDL, it's so exciting to know. And he came from out of state.
Carrie, those kind of stories make a difference, don't they?
Absolutely. And I think that, you know, when Charles called us in February, I mean, I remember he said, "Hey, I just found you guys online. Is there any way you have any, trucking training?" And I was like, "Well, yeah, actually, we're working on it right now." And it's just so cool to see it fully come to fruition. He just went out in his own truck yesterday on his own. So he's doing great. And we're just so proud of him. And I think in regards to your question about keeping people here, I think that that's really the responsibility of the trucking companies here in South Dakota. And I think one of the things that keeps us really unique here in South Dakota is just the fact that we do take good care of our people. And I mean, I know at K&J, we've got a fabulous retention rate of our drivers. We retained, 92% of our driving pool last year, which is unheard of in the trucking industry. So, I mean, there's a lot of companies that in South Dakota that are doing a fabulous job of retaining people and drawing in people from the outside as well. And it's just really exciting.
Christine, you and I and Rick have talked a little bit about the big differences between states as far as licenses, where you can drive, where you can't drive. How are we going to fix that problem?
Oh, boy. Well, one of the things that there's a program that's starting, I don't know that it's really going to be started in South Dakota, but it's getting the younger generation excited about the trucking industry and off and going. And so right now there is a program that a couple of different states are doing it on a pilot program to see how can we get, you know, making sure our roads are safe, but putting that 18, 19-year-old, most don't realize that you have to be 21 years old. And sometimes if you're not often headed to a college or you need to start making money, they might forego looking at getting a CDL because you can't get that until you're 21 to be able to drive out of state. And so there is a couple pilot programs that will start looking at that 18 to 20-year-old age to see how can we get them in a safe way and get that workforce moving along.
When we talk with the retailers and we also talk with the builders, they're constantly saying we need to have more trucks delivering more merchandise. Mm-hmm. Is this a dream that you ladies both have?
Yeah, I mean, I think I know for K&J, we're always trying to see how we can expand and grow in a way that obviously still serves our current drivers because that's our first calling. But we want to be a part of the solution. I think that sometimes the way that things get skewed in Washington definitely makes things a little harder for us. And I think that in the name of safety, there's been a lot of rules and regulations that have been put into place that maybe aren't always really considering the needs of the industry. And so I'm looking forward to, you know, being able to, with Christine's help and things like that, for our industry to continue to make an impact at our state level and then make an impact on a national level in this industry.
Christine, when you were in D.C., if I remember right, it was the first meeting since we have kind of recouped from COVID. Was that correct?
Yes. That was the first time back in, I believe, 2 years that we've done our call in Washington. And so we actually in South Dakota, our federal delegation is so responsive. I mean, most of the time we can shoot them a quick text saying, "Hey, I'm in town. Can you do lunch or can you meet?" It's just different here. And I'm so grateful for having such responsive delegation. And so we got to meet with all three of ours. and talk about some of the challenges in the industry. One of those being, the federal government coming in and talking about wanting to put more regulation on these trucks, such as speed limiters, and just making it more difficult and not truly looking at the unintended consequences with some of these regulations they put in place. And so we had great conversations with all three of them, and we're super grateful that they are all supportive of the trucking industry and making sure that, you know, product keeps moving.
The governor is in the state. She's going to talk to us in 10 minutes. One of the reasons we wanted you guys early in the show and her around 9:32 is we want to make sure that she is hearing both Christine and Carrie this morning as far as what is being done as far as the truckers, the CDL training program, and just what a few more Welcome to South Dakotas could do.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, we enjoy a great relationship with the governor and her administration. This program has been rolled out to many different departments. The lieutenant governor has been in meetings with us as well, knowing what's going on. And so we're grateful that they are supportive too. We just want to make sure that we continue to have those good relationships and making sure that those regulations stay at bay. Where, you know, people think they need to do something all the time, and sometimes those somethings cause more problems than solutions. And so what better way than to let industry kind of dictate some of those things and making sure, you know, the Carries of the world and the K&Js of the world really are leading some of those conversations to making sure that the regulation makes sense and isn't just onerous again.
Carrie Anderson, I don't want you to think we shortchanged you this morning. What else did you want to say but that you haven't?
Well, I think that the other thing that I would add, if I have Christy's ear, is in our industry, it is expensive to train drivers, whether that's happening through behind-the-wheel programs at a company or whether that's happening through institutions like Southeast Tech and Lake Area Tech, at least in this area on the east side of the state. And there is really no funding available for these programs because they're not degree-seeking programs. So I think what I would love to see more of is investment in businesses that are training and in organizations and institutions that are training to see if we can help to offset some of these costs to get more people in the industry.
All right. Christine, make sure that we stay in touch. If there's something we need to know you've got the attention of all of our listeners.
Thank you so much. And we always appreciate you highlighting the trucking industry and allowing us to have a voice to your listeners. It's so important. So thank you for your time.
Carrie, thank you. We'll talk to you soon, too.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Big event coming downtown. Second annual Pork Downtown event. Tenley up next. Welcome back. It's Your Business. I remember about a year ago, it was a new event. Following the beef and the burger events downtown. Sadie and Joe were proud of it. I remember announcing the winners. But now we're in year two of a pork event. Tenley Schwartz is with us this morning. And you've got, is it 19 restaurants this year that are involved?
Yes. Full lineup, plenty of dishes to try this year at the Downtown Pork Showdown.
All right, so why is this such a big deal? And with the fact that it is that showdown, people get a chance to maybe try some pork dishes they haven't tried ever.
Yeah, you know, we have heard across the years that people want a pork battle or a taco battle or a pizza battle. And so this allows restaurants to create a brand new dish for competition, and they get to decide what it is as long as there's pork in it. And, you know, we're in an area where pork is part of the livelihood. So it's just a really natural fit. We're really happy to be partnering with Smithfield Foods for this competition and just bring some more excitement to September.
All right. So tell me what the restaurants do, what the people that go into these restaurants do. Can you kind of describe it?
Yes. So each restaurant creates a brand new dish. So even if it's a favorite restaurant, they're creating something that you've never had there before. And then they'll serve it, and then you get to vote. You'll get a little code. You'll get to scan a QR code and then vote on five categories within the DTSF Digital Passport app. And so at the end of the month of September, we'll find out who the winner is based on all of those votes. So it's a really fun time to just bring out your food critic skills and be the judge of what the best pork dish downtown is. So you can vote, and diners can also share their experience and snap a photo and share it on social media with the hashtag DTSFShowdown22.
And the pork producers love it. They love the fact that people are going into restaurants and they're actually getting a chance to sample new offerings with pork.
Yeah, it's amazing. There's everything from ribs to pizza. It's so many things. I can't even decide which one I'm going to try first.
Well, and you look at some of the names, and I guess you can find the names of the restaurants online, correct?
Yep, you can find them at DTSF.com.
But I see things like Swamp Daddy's Cajun. I see Monk's Ale, Pizza Chex, Bread and Circus. You know, and those are just a few of them. Blarney Stone. Who would have thunk?
Yeah, and it's really the one chance that all of these restaurants get to be involved in the same promotion. They're so different. There's so much variety. And I don't think you're going to be able to get sick of pork this month. It's all so different.
September 1st through September the 30th. So that startup date is Thursday. And you can go in. Do they offer these dishes? You have to order the dishes. Tinley, how does that work?
Yep, you'll just go in. You'll ask for their pork showdown dish, and you'll be all set.
So how did you sign up the 19 different restaurants?
We sent out a call for participation and just got a great, great response. We've got a couple places that this is their first food competition. We've got Cookie Jar Eatery for the first time. So it's just really exciting to see continued support for the event, to see restaurants saying, yep, we did it last year and we want to do it again. And I know the public gets really excited about these food competitions, too. You know, it's something to do in a season that's a little slower. Summer's winding down. Patio season is closing out. But there's still plenty to do downtown, and we're really excited to bring this.
Now, here's what we did last year from our side. Joe Batchelor and Sadie would test and come back and report on some of these dishes in the restaurants. So now you don't have Sadie around anymore, even though she might want to just go sample. But I have a hunch Joe's going to sample and you can sample. Can you start giving us some scouting reports through the month of September?
Oh, absolutely. I'd be happy to.
So how many of these 19 restaurants have you ever been in?
It'd take a lot of time to go through, but I think most of them. I mean, several have been Burger Battle competitors, and I've made my way through a good chunk of those.
Well, Tinley, of course, is the Downtown Sioux Falls marketing manager, and it's another one of those things that we can say, this is exactly what we should be doing. We have the ag products. We've had the beef products. You've done all kinds of other projects downtown, but it does bring people downtown too, doesn't it?
It does. It does. And it's just a great sense of community. You know, it's a shared experience, but you can also do it in your own time. So it's a really fun combination. It's always fun to let people be the critic a little bit and also just enjoy all of the restaurants that downtown has to offer. It's a great reason to try out some place that you've never been to before. And I'm really excited about that.
I just had somebody text me, who won last year?
Chef Lance won last year, and he's coming back this year with ribs. So we'll see. Can he hang on to the trophy? I don't know.
You mean there's only one trophy? You only get to keep it 1 year?
Oh, yeah.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, you got to stay on top.
It's going to be fun. All right, for those that have just joined us, where do they go to check these out online?
They can go to DTSF.com, and it'll be the first picture on our page.
All right. Tenley Schwartz, appreciate you. We may not get much time on Friday because we're going to be at the State Fair up in Huron, but we wanted to do this today in advance of September 1st, which is Thursday. We appreciate you weighing in this morning. The governor is on the line. We'll be talking next. I'm Bill Zortman, and welcome back to It's Your Business. Governor Kristi Noem is in Sioux Falls today. It's been a while since we talked. Good morning to you, Governor.
Good morning, Bill. I've got a special guest with me. Can he just say hello to you real quick?
Oh, absolutely.
I start the interview? Here you go.
Hey, Bill. Larry Roden. Lieutenant Governor, good to be with you guys today.
Larry, good to talk with you. Appreciate you and your companion today.
Great. Yeah. Well, I'll put it back to Governor Noem. Thanks, Bill.
You betcha. Nice to visit with Lieutenant Governor.
It's always fun to have him with me for the day. So we're both in Sioux Falls all day. We've already had breakfast, two different coffees. We are full up to the top of refreshments and raring to go. So I can't wait for all of our stops today down in this area.
We have a number of things that we want to kind of talk with you about. I shared with Ian, and he said, what else would you bring up? And it was like, you know, depends on what she says. I'm always listening. My job is to listen for the listeners and try to ask their questions. But the one thing that we did last week was to have a chance to visit with the Sioux Falls Chamber that voted unanimously on this Holstone project. And we had a chance to visit with Luke Minion, who is involved with it. He is the president and CEO. But it has become kind of a battle here. And the question is agriculture still number one in South Dakota, particularly with what the petition is saying? We don't need another pork plant in Sioux Falls.
Are you asking me if agriculture is number one? Of course it is. It's our biggest industry, and it's not just our biggest industry. It's our biggest industry by eight times. It's eight times bigger than our second largest industry that affects our economy, and that's tourism. So it's not, you know, just important. It's the gorilla in the room. So, and what's interesting about this project is that it is a decision Sioux Falls will make. You know, the people, if this is on the ballot, people will vote on it, and they'll decide what the future looks like. But for us, you know, at the state level, they've been planning this project for 5 years. They've got all their permits. They've met all the requirements. It's a cooperative, which is always nice. It's letting these producers that grow these animals have a chance to own their own processing facility, which we certainly saw the challenges during the pandemic with having big packers control everything. And, you know, two-thirds of these producers that are building this plant take their pork to Smithfield right now. You know, that's going to move all those hogs over to the new facility that'll be outside of town. It'll be an interesting discussion. I hope the voters, when they make that decision, they look at the facts. And, you know, but it's up to them, and whatever they do, we'll certainly abide by. I don't have any say in it, but I think that everybody knows how much I support agriculture and our economy and every person in the state, too.
One of the gentlemen that called me, you know Walt Bones, presented him an award, I think, earlier this year. Walt was telling me, he said the sad thing with this, he was on a committee in Minnehaha County, and they had hearings on Holstone coming in, and nobody came to the hearings to complain. Mm-hmm. And now this is 4 or 5 years later, after the four states have bragged about it, all the players in the city and the state have bragged about it. And now I got people that are saying, not so fast in my neighborhood.
Well, I think that is sad because, you know, you pass a ballot measure like this down here, that puts every single project we do in South Dakota in jeopardy in the future. That means any company in the state from now on knows I can meet all the requirements, I can plan, I can do everything right, and at the last minute one person can get mad, do a ballot petition, and end my business and my investment. So, you know, that's the reality of what's going on, and that's pretty hard for getting. I've already had other projects move out of the state, say they're not coming because of the Holstone issue. They're like, well, I'm not going to go through that if that can happen in South Dakota. We had one family, you know, decide not to do a new manufacturing plant, food manufacturing plant in South Dakota because they said we don't want a battle like that to be our family legacy. So we're not going to do that. So it's already impacting us, this discussion that's going on down here in Sioux Falls, and I just, you know, think it's unfortunate. If people would have been paying attention when the project was discussed and expressed all their concerns, we probably wouldn't have this emotion tied up in this vote right now.
And going border to border, Megan Kingsbury has visited with us about the new bison beef plant out west. 8,000 head a day. The animals would never hit the ground except in the building. And the process is much like Holstone, that it's modern. It's not something that is the last century or century before. But she's getting a lot of questions, and she wonders, too, what are we going to do? How are we going to make sure that when we do a project and it's this big a deal, it's getting nationwide, worldwide attention, we've got to make it work?
Well, the fact is, Bill, our producers have been getting ripped off for generations. They've raised these cattle, these pork pigs, and they process them. They sell them, you know, through other packers that take all the profits and put them in the grocery store, and what it sells for in the grocery store is not reflecting at all really what happens to that rancher or to that pork producer out there on the ground. And here they are trying to invest in their future and do it with the most advanced, clean technology out there, and it's being thwarted by something like this. But the fact of the matter is, the new plant, you know, the bison plant, you know, if it gets built, the one here, Holstone on the outskirts of town, is much more advanced than what you see with Smithfield. Smithfield's violated water quality issues for years and years, and dumped dirty water into the Big Sioux. And it's a Chinese-owned company, and I got a not great relationship with them during COVID because they wouldn't work with me to help protect their people. So, you know, I do have a little bit of experience with them, and I think they're doing better and trying to invest and trying to improve their old building. But the fact is, the new facility would be much more advanced, wouldn't have the water quality issues at all, would not have the smell issues that you see coming out of Smithfield, and would just be a completely different deal. So you're talking apples and oranges, and I think that Sioux Falls should have all those facts before they make a decision.
Two other projects that I wanted to visit with you a little bit about: the cybersecurity expansion, South Dakota State with Southeast Tech, and $200 million to advance workforce housing. Housing, a big issue in South Dakota.
Yeah, both of those are exciting for us. You know, the cybersecurity expansion into Sioux Falls, it's basically doubling the amount of students that we can train in this area. It's the next big industry. I talked about 4 years ago when I ran for governor that I wanted to see grow and expand in our state and become a significant part of our economy, because it creates jobs that our kids want. It keeps our kids here, you know, in these high-paying jobs that they're interested in, that helps them create a career close to home. So the fact that we are doubling that campus and training double the amount of students now is going to be incredible. You know, we train almost all the NSA employees here in the state of South Dakota through DSU and what they do. So we are world-renowned in South Dakota, and I want it to stay that way and continue to grow. And we're recruiting companies who want to be here because we're providing them with their workforce. So companies are moving here because of that investment into that campus, and they're here because they want to be the first ones to hire those individuals who want to stay in South Dakota and raise their children here. So that and the housing bill, you know, we made it a priority last year during legislative session. I brought forward a proposal of how we could grant this money to different communities and let these communities do workhouse, you know, housing studies to make sure it's being used, utilized correctly. The legislature did change that bill, and there's been some problems. So we're going to have to go back in and fix the program to make sure that people can really access it. But, you know, it is something that's important, and I know we want to make sure these communities have the chance to really address that career housing needs that they do have since our economy is growing so fast.
November is going to come quick enough, but one of the questions that's out there is that really the governor riding the horse?
Really?
Yes.
You're kidding.
No.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, they can't tell if it's you on the horse because it's such a long-distance shot.
Oh, wow. That's crazy. Okay, well, definitely it was. And it wasn't all – what people don't know is I care a lot about my horse. That's Iceman is kind of my baby. So when you run a horse across the prairie like that, you know, my first thought is they said, run your horse across this ridge. And I said, okay, well, how fast? And they said, if, you know, you want him going hard. And I said, okay, well, I'm going to walk it all first. and make sure there's no holes, there's no rocks he can trip over. He can, you know, a horse running that fast out there on that native ground could break a leg real quick if he hits something wrong. So what you guys don't know is how long that day was. Every time they wanted me to run somewhere, I got off and walked that whole area and checked it out before I would dare run my nice horse across that. But yeah, it was me. It was Iceman. No body doubles for that one, I guess. And I'm glad they think I was good enough that they thought somebody else would do a stand-in for me, I guess. That means I must be a decent rider.
That would be the first time you ever had a stand-in, right, Governor?
Yeah, exactly. It would be. That's right.
So now, does Iceman, when the horse sees you coming, does it kind of move the other direction? Because it doesn't know how fast it's going to have to go and if there be holes out there in the prairie?
He loves me. He's a good boy. It's funny because he's got a real... He likes to go, but he's got a sweet personality, too. I've got a Palomino mare named Blondie. She is a little bit of a little hot-headed sometimes, but she's a lot of fun, too. So you kind of use the horse for what you think they're best suited for.
Now, I have to kind of laugh at the commercials that both sides are using right now.
Yeah.
I mean, some...
Well,
some,
how could you laugh at the one he's running against me? He says
well,
I don't
easy.
Have any friends, Bill. I feel like I'm back in middle school. I mean, who runs a political ad like that saying I'm saddle sore and I don't have any friends? Give me a break. Why don't you talk about your record, you dummy? Give me a break.
How do you really feel?
That's something a sixth grader would put on TV. And I don't understand. I mean, honestly, don't you bully kids like that and hear that on the playground?
Did you?
I certainly heard it. Do you ever, I mean, she doesn't have any friends. Give me a break. I think it's ridiculous. It just shows that he doesn't have anything to talk about of what he stands for. You know, he's the most liberal legislator we got in the state, loves Joe Biden. That doesn't really work with what we're doing here in South Dakota.
So,
you had to have liked my mom's commercial, though, didn't you?
Well, you know, I was kind of looking to see if you resembled her.
And, I do.
And you do maybe a little bit, but uh-huh. I mean, she might be just a tad older than you are.
Just a little. But she, she was a real trooper in that. And she told me the other day, she said, Christy, I went grocery shopping. Two people asked for my autograph. She said, I said, well, you're a really big deal now. She goes, I'm just going to probably have to wear sunglasses or something. I said, yes, you probably are, Mom. You're right. You are famous now. So I don't think she minds the attention too much.
All right. What's the goal in Sioux Falls today other than to talk to us? And I think you're visiting with Scott Lawrence later.
I am, which is fantastic. I love him and all that he's doing in Sioux Falls and what he does on the radio with you too. He's the band leader, you know, he's the guy. So, we were at Hy-Vee this morning with a group having coffee. Just were at Josiah's. We're going to head as well to different places. Let's see, I'm going to Lawrence and Schiller and visit with all their employees. We're going to go to Schulte Subaru. We're going to go door knocking for a while. Marmon Energy, we're going to go tour and visit with their employees. McGuire Iron, we're going to go out to the Game Fish and Park Outdoor Campus. They're having a 25-year celebration today, so everybody should be out there for that. We've got the Food Truck Tuesday we're going to go to, and then tonight I'm going to the Canaries game with my family. So it's a good day and lots of fun stuff to do. I hope we run into a lot of people down here.
And if you come back in September, you need to try out some of those 19 restaurants that have got the pork battle and vote.
I can't wait. I know people were talking about that the other day. I was getting my hair cut down here in Sioux Falls, and they were talking about the fact that that's quite a competition. I mean, and sounds like it's a fun one.
All right. Well, I was looking for a guest to follow you this morning, and who could I find? Who better than David Owen? So,
oh, my goodness.
You're going to be in great hands. And
there you go.
We'll try not to tell any Iceman stories riding across the prairie looking for holes.
Sounds good. I appreciate it.
Governor, thank you. You're welcome anytime.
You bet. Goodbye.
Well, who do you follow the governor with? And it was like, I know. It's the big O. David Owen, South Dakota Chamber, was emailing me a few hundred and others, and it was like, oh, that went to you. I said, yeah, so what the heck were you sending to me, and are you on pot?
No, I was going to make a bad joke about being on the pot, but let's don't do that. And my only comment
down the hall.
Yeah. My only comment to follow on the governor is you must do like the Sunday morning show, the highs and the lows. And so you've had a nice time with the governor, and now let's check with Owen.
But it does get to the election process that's yes. coming up, yes. and it's not that far away. And talk a little bit about the note that you sent out and just where the state chamber leaders are, those members as well. And we'll talk about between now and Christmas, too. So get started.
Let's talk about ballot measures. The South Dakota Chamber has been involved in ballot campaigns each of the last 9 elections. We're not leading a campaign this year, kind of for the first time, but we do follow. There's 2 ballot measures. One, Amendment D, changes the Constitution for Medicaid. Quite honestly, the South Dakota Chamber has not decided a position on that. We will do that on September 22nd. However, we did endorse Governor Dugard's proposal, but this one's different. Probably more urgently than that, voters should be aware of the fact that we're voting on marijuana again. Hence,
we have voted on marijuana before, and people kind of forget. Is this the same thing? What's different? What should they be thinking about?
This is different. Actually, South Dakota's voted on marijuana, including this year, I think 4 times. Twice they rejected medical marijuana, and then a period of time lapsed. Last year, there was 2 proposals. One was medical, and the other was recreational. And after spending $1.6 million, we led the opposition to one of those, Amendment A, which was recreational, and passed with 54% of the vote. Medical, of course, passed with 70% of the vote, so that's considered not close in South Dakota politics, and the legislature spent 2 years implementing that. On the ballot now is IM-27, strictly recreational. We decide if we want to let everybody over the age of 21 have access to marijuana. My organization opposed Amendment A, which was very similar. And we are opposed to this. We are not. While we will do what we can to help the campaign, there is a campaign committee called Protecting South Dakota Kids that's leading the campaign to vote no on that. And the same folks that put us in second place are going to be the proponents.
Your organization, when you mentioned that, it was like, what does he mean? Your organization. Who's in that?
South Dakota Chamber of Commerce and Industry has about 400 businesses that support us. Quite honestly, most of them are larger businesses, although we have a good collection of small business. We are about half manufacturers. All the healthcare groups, the financial institutions, Citibank, Premier, large wholesalers and just contractors and a collection of other businesses. We tend to deal with issues that span all of the issues. There's a lot of business groups out there. Contractors have theirs. Retailers have theirs. We tend to do issues that are fairly broad. And as I usually say, if it's boring, it's probably us.
I wasn't going to say that. Can you ride a horse across the prairie with holes?
You know, I'm scared I'm going to fall out of the car. I don't belong on a horse.
You know, we are getting ready to go into fall, Thursday. We hit into the September month. So what about the holiday season? That's always very important to those businesses across South Dakota. What's the early look?
Concern, I get a sense talking to my members, and again, Dr. Sanderson might be better as the retailers looking at the retail side of this, but South Dakota, I don't sense South Dakota's as obsessed about the coming recession. I hear a lot of chatter about things costing more. I hear a lot of chatter about supply chain. And I've gotten personally jammed up on that with a few things I was looking for at the house and had to wait a week or two. I think we're going back into a season. We're going to debate masks and COVID. This is a spike season for that. And, you know, you throw in the political mix. You know, everybody's watching gas prices. So I sense a growing maybe hesitation, but, geez, we still have thousands more jobs than we have people to work in them. And so workforce continues to be an issue, and it's legislative season. So, you know, nothing sane about that.
Well, you're kind of a legislative family. Imagine that. Yeah. But
two lobbyists as parents, I always ask people.
Yeah, and you're not always on the same side of the fence or riding the same horse.
Yeah, yeah, we have a lousy couch, so I try to avoid that if I can.
But, you know, I do wonder what it's going to be like in the legislature without some of that COVID money, some of that SBA money. All of that kind of just floated in like a snowstorm.
Boy, you hit one of the keys, but I think the governor deserves credit. Legislative leadership deserves credit, and I mean both parties. We invested that money in a lot of one-time projects. We did infrastructure. We spent $70 million with $30 million yet to go on helping daycares with one-time costs. So we're going to go back to what it's like to have a normal budget. And there are legislators that will tell you that's easier because when you have to say no, you kind of do it across the boards. And when you're trying to pick and choose winners and losers to invest hundreds of millions of dollars, that can wear you out. So we're going to be back to normal business, although there's going to be some question about how much of that money's actually been spent, how much we can kind of boost. So there may be some residuals that can be examined, but we're going to go back looking at the kind of growth we have and what a normal budget looks like.
So if you were a new legislator, you had not been there before when you had to scratch for every nickel, and this was what you saw, you're in for a rude awakening when you come back to the term in 2023.
I think most people would be surprised at where the money goes. We, you know, I always make this joke. We, you know, the tax committee meets on the third floor or on fourth floor at one end of the building, and the appropriators are on third floor at the other end of the building. So we collect the money, but by the time you do education, K through 12 and the Board of Regents, you do public safety, and you do public welfare, I think that's 85% of the budget, maybe 90. So we can debate the current Medicaid, whether we expand or not. We can talk about prisons, public safety, the court system, you talk about health care. And that's where the money goes. There's not a lot of flexibility within those things.
So if somebody wants to be on your 400-member committee to have their opinion matter and don't want to ride a horse, how do they find you?
Yeah, no horse riding necessary. We maintain an office in Pierre. We have a staff of three of us, 605-224-6161. Is the phone number. Siobhan will get your message and or answer the phone. And we are at sdchamber.biz, which is a little weird. And our website is there. We'd love to have folks, and we need support. We live or die on membership investment.
David Owen, South Dakota Chamber, appreciate the visit. Glad that you could be on the backside with the governor just ahead.
She's a hard act to follow.
Oh, my goodness. Governor, Dr. David Owen. Trucking, what we're doing to try to get the CDL training program here. And we launched the pork battle, the battle that they have now gone to year two on, the downtown pork showdown with 19 restaurants, which starts on Thursday. Now, what about next hour? A lot of it's going to deal with the South Dakota State Fair. Candy Briley is going to join us. We'll talk with FFA, what their plans are for the state fair. And they have this safety quiz that they do. And we had all four of the high school teams that joined us. We'll be talking about that. We'll be talking about the fact that we'll be set up live there on Friday. We'll be there 9 to 11. We've never done a show there. I've done a couple of shows in Huron with South Dakota Farmers Union. But all the places we go, Redwood Falls, we go to Mitchell, we've gone to Spencer, Iowa, we've gone to Kansas City. We haven't gone to our own state fair. So this year we're going to do there. We'll incorporate some of our Friday guests in that. But for the most part, we'll talk about all the things that are going on. And we'll have a chance, if you didn't get to hear the governor, we're going to do a little replay in our second half hour. So we hope that you'll stay with us. Laura Edwards gives us the fair weather and the football weather for the weekend. But for now, our time is up. Thank you for yours.
Kello, News Talk 1320, KELO Sioux Falls, FM 107.9, KELQ Flandreau Sioux Falls, and online at kello.com.